Ever tried reading while jogging, cooking, or even juggling flaming torches? Yeah, doesn't end well. But with audiobooks.com, you can conquer books without the circus act. Dive into over 450,000 titles, including more than 10,000 free ones. Get hooked on a bestseller, find your next obsession, or finally read that classic you've been avoiding since high school. And here's the inside scoop. Sign up today for a free 30-day trial and snag your first three audiobooks on the house. Sign up for your free trial at audiobooks.com/podcastfree today. That's audiobooks.com/podcastfree.
Ahoy, hoy, everybody, and welcome to Talking Simpsons, the Laser Time Podcast Network's chronological exploration of The Simpsons. I am your host, Bob Mackey. Who else is here today?
Henry Gilbert.
Christopher Wildfire Antista.
I'm Dave Rudden, and I want you to play with my ding-a-ling.
Maybe later. Anyways,
num, good salt lick.
Today we're going to be talking about Lisa's Pony, a great episode. It aired on November 7th, 1991. Chris, what happened on this mythical day in history?
Not sure if you'd believe me, Geraldo and Bette Midler air their dirty sex talk on radio. The absent-minded professor, Fred McMurray, is dead at 82. And for the first time in a month, 60 Minutes unseats Roseanne as at the top of the TV ratings.
Fred McMurray, great in Double Indemnity. Please see
Double
it.
Double Indemnity, fucking great.
Yes. Indemnity is a hard word to say. No one knows what it means anymore.
I've had three beers.
He was also the Shaggy Dog, right?
No, he was not.
The Shaggy?
No, he's in the Shaggy Dog.
Was Fred McMurray the one in Pet Sematary?
No, he's in My Three Sons. In a great movie I just saw, The Apartment with Jack Lemmon.
Oh, really?
He plays a philanderer.
It's funny, like, Fred McMurray is known for Disney, like, wholesome Disney stuff, but...
Follow Me, Boys, one of my favorites.
Double Indemnity is a story where he's an insurance agent that helps a woman kill her husband to get his money and
really
to get her
good.
Body. Okay, so this episode, I want to point out, is directed by Carlos Baeza, one of the more unsung directors on The Simpsons. He only worked for a few seasons, but he's great. I love how his episodes look, and Chris, he was an animator on Tummy Trouble...
What?
Yes. What is Tummy Trouble? Please
the
explain.
Roger Rabbit short that I believe it aired with Honey, I Shrunk the Kids.
Okay, I wasn't sure if it was the City Slickers one.
No. Who Framed Roger Rabbit? No, there was no City Slickers one.
Oh, I thought there was.
Just
Damn.
Dick Tracy and,
Great
Cheetah.
Panda Adventure.
Yeah, one of those terrible foreign films.
Animal
but where
films.
White people travel to a foreign land film that Disney was doing a lot
but,
in the mid-90s.
This episode has... Oh, sorry. This episode,
Tummy Trouble is great. Please
is
go
really
watch
good,
that.
Yeah.
It's one of the best. It might be the best Roger Rabbit short.
Can you buy those shorts?
They're on every DVD
that
you can buy.
Cool. So this episode on every DVD. Wow.
Roger Rabbit DVD.
Okay, thank you.
On all the digitally versatile discs.
So
again, three beers. Apologies.
Again, Carlos Baeza, he helped direct the beautiful Golden Slumber sequence we'll talk about later. But this episode is about Lisa getting a pony. And where do we start with this episode? It starts with a parody of 2001. Do we have that? Or
But there's not much to get
it's
at.
It's all
grunting,
visual, yeah. Well,
but it's more that, like I said, last episode was the perfect cartoon. And this is The Simpsons becoming the perfect Simpsons show.
So, yeah, and I think
a weird premise. You won't see this on a normal sitcom. Yeah.
Well,
it's animated well. It's funny from beginning to end.
And I think there's a better 2001 parody in Homer the Heretic next season where I think it is the monolith scene and everything.
In
the womb, too.
It's him in the womb. Yeah. But this episode is written by Al Jean and Mike Reese, who were also overseeing the show at this point. And the inspiration from it is their extreme exhaustion from having to work so hard on the show.
And neglecting their children, too.
And neglecting their children.
Wow.
But at this time on the show, too, this was them... They're a couple years away from creating The Critic, and at least the opening is a very Critic opening.
Like, opening with a parody?
Yeah, opening with a parody to kill time. Like, that's something else Gene and Reese always talk about on their things is they were always short. They always needed more time. They needed the Flanders bit at the end of the one episode.
But if you haven't seen 2001 A Space Odyssey, you should.
I agree.
You also shouldn't feel bad because there is no way any of you saw this. 2001 before this episode.
40
no
minutes
way.
Of that movie is a screensaver, to be honest. So, but it's a beautiful screensaver.
I love it. I love 2001.
The Simpsons' relationship with 2001 is kind of similar to its deal with Citizen Kane for me because I saw a million references to it and then I finally saw the movie. Now, it was more obvious the references to 2001 and my parents were like, oh, this is 2001. They always identified
it. This one is an unmistakable parody.
But I didn't see 2001 until 95 and I only watched it because my... Dad bet me $5 I could not stay awake for the entire thing.
Wow.
And I did, but only because of that bet, because once Hal is dead and he is approaching, you know, nothingness and the, like, nothing fucking happened.
What? It's 16 minutes of visual effects it from is 1970s.
It is the take your acid moment, I think.
Yeah. I know. It, but I think 90 minutes of that film is a, such an amazing, like, story.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
The fight, like, them versus Hal on a spaceship is just great.
So great.
I love that. But anyway,
it's the 1970s. What else are you doing with your time? Like, watch this.
It opens with a 2001 parody, but really opens with a phone call.
Yellow. Dad, I'm calling about the school talent show.
Don't worry, I know it's tonight.
No, Dad, I broke my last saxophone reed and I need you to get me a new one.
Isn't this the kind of thing your mother's better at?
I called her. She's not home. I also tried Mr. Flanders, Aunt Patty, Aunt Selma, Dr. Hibbert, Reverend Lovejoy, and that nice man who caught the snake in our basement.
Wow, and after them, out of all the people in the world, you chose me.
That's not insincerity. Mm-hmm. That's just Homer becoming the greatest Homer ever. Yeah.
I wonder if there's a that man who caught the snake in our basement on Wiki, that, an entry for that guy. Yeah. I'm sure there is.
Well, they don't have the baker from the last episode that was somehow like a cop
the
or something.
Now.
But they do have Aunt Bella from Homer, Stark Raving Dad. So.
Yeah, though this is also a Gene and Reese thing, that especially Gene, he loves Lisa Homer stories. He wrote, I believe they wrote Moaning Lisa, the first Lisa-centric episode of the series, too.
I think secretly they're the most they are the episodes most likely to win them Emmys, too. They would freely admit that. Like, an emotional story with Homer and Lisa, two characters that have nothing in common.
I mean, it's most obvious in the one where they kill Bleeding Gums Murphy, which is not a great episode.
I agree, but, and they said flat out, we wanted to win an Emmy with that one.
Yeah, the credits show it. It was one of the rare teleplay credits. So they could be on the story credit, meaning they'd win the Emmy. Like, they were thinking that far ahead, like, oh, we'll totally win an Emmy for this. Like,
double Emmys.
Don't count your Emmys before they're handed to you at Kodak Theater. People.
Wow.
I just have a note, as Skinner as being so great, like, perfect Skinner as well.
I do want to say, Chris, that we see the very last of Skinner's initial character trait, mispronouncing things. I think it's the last time he says stormy leather instead of stormy weather.
I have three Skinner clips in a row.
Well, you're in for a whale of a show tonight. I'd like to point out that the doors are now locked, so you parents can't sneak out of the show after your own child is performed. Oh, and let me caution the people in the first five rows, you will get wet.
That feels like a Gallagher reference.
Yeah. It is.
I didn't bother to check, but, like, is that the same crowd from, like, the Christmas pageant? Like, just some of the characters.
They're drawn much better.
Ugh, I mean, some of them look bad.
Well, they're still at the point of, like, they don't have a full character pack. They're like, well, we have to fill this out. Okay, here's a season one drawing of somebody.
Yeah. I wonder if Just Stamp the Ticket guy was in that audience. Does he have a kid? Does he have a wife? I need to know.
Speaking of season one characters, why is Bleeding Gums Murphy on the judging panel when they have a music teacher? And he's been introduced.
Largo.
But come on, wouldn't you want a published musician?
I wonder if that really was Ron Taylor doing his voice. I didn't check
absolutely
the credits.
Not.
I didn't
no
think
way.
So. But
it is his laugh.
We do see Lunch Lady Doris for the very first time again.
Really?
Doris Grau.
Yeah.
Yes.
She was
doing a great job.
She was the waitress in Izzy's. She played the waitress in Izzy's Deli a couple episodes ago, but that was not Doris, Lunch Lady Doris.
Yeah. And she was also a nurse, too. So I think Lunch Lady Doris
I get
pulling.
Two paychecks this way.
That's right. Thank God.
More Skinner.
My dingling. My dingling. I want you to play with my dingling.
This act is over. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to put this filth behind us. Let's all enjoy Lisa Simpson's rendition of Stormy Leather. Weather.
That's old Skinner.
Homer has not shown up with a reed yet.
So
Lisa's
my ding-a-ling. Let's talk about this.
I knew that whole song, and I've lost it all.
Can we close with my ding-a-ling? That'd
I would
be great.
Love to. Sure. Because we sung it all. I wanted to close to something else, but if you prefer it, Bob, it's all you.
Either that or Golden Slumbers.
It's only a personal thing. I'll get to it.
But my ding-a-ling is a Chuck Berry song.
It's a real song. All about your dick.
Well, the ding-a-ling he talks about is a bell gift given to him by his mom.
Very common gift.
But lots of puns.
It's full of puns.
I can't even remember the song. We sung it at camp together.
I believe
the children.
I believe in one part his ding-a-ling gets bit by a turtle while he's going through swamp. He's like, I heard bells ring.
And that was the end of my ding-a-ling-a-ling.
Now, the thing they talk about on the commentary is that that's a Chuck Berry song. Mm-hmm. Chuck Berry songs are very hard to clear because Chuck Berry is a crazy person. And you have to find him in person and give him cash in person.
Wow.
And he has to want to accept it. Like it's
and you have to find him in between, like him watching women shit on a glass table above his face.
Yeah. So he's hanging out with Danny Thomas.
Or you have to find his cousin Marvin. Yes. Marvin Berry.
Marvin Berry, who but, scouts everything for him.
Yeah, Chuck Berry. Chuck Berry is famous for like...
Was he a sex offender?
He filmed... He owned a restaurant, I believe it was, and he filmed... He secretly filmed the women's bathroom.
That sounds like him.
He was famous for wanting to be farted on in bed. Like, he was the early... He was the early R. Kelly for bathroom.
Somebody's got to do it.
It doesn't make you a bad person, Hank.
It does not, but...
I'll talk about that later.
I'm sure the women who farted on him were over 18, so it's better than R. Kelly.
Yeah. But the thing is...
You gotta get them preteen farts.
Anyway, the thing is that he's almost impossible to get clearance for, and so the way they got it was they got the producer of Simpson Sings the Blues, who knew Buck, who knew Chuck Berry, Buck Cherry in person.
Buck Cherry.
Is that guy's name actually meant to be a reference to Chuck
Berry? I
didn't
just blow your mind?
Wow, I never thought.
Oh
anyway,
my God.
The point...
I love the cocaine.
So yeah, that guy had to... The only reason my dingling is in there because they were able to get a producer who knew Chuck Berry.
Oh man, that's like their Herb Alpert connection.
Yeah, it's nuts, man.
And Homer does not show up in time to give Lisa her read. And I just
it's a four and a half read.
I just want the four and a half read. I love all that stuff. It didn't sound good in clips.
And again... Oh, King Toots is established to be next to Moe's, and it has always been next to Moe's ever since. So,
except for the movie.
That's right.
The movie, the church is next to
it. They needed a joke of the church next to it.
It's a great joke.
It is a great
joke.
It's
worth it.
But when they remember to put it there, King Toots is there, that would come back in another Gene and Reese episode where Lisa gets her sex.
Yeah. Story I happen to be it. That moron.
So granted, Homer is a jerk for going to get beer before going to the music shop.
And Marge predicts it. It's like, that's about right.
Yeah, but also...
Such a good guess.
Lisa should have known enough to tell him the exact type of read to speed up the process. Yeah, well, not... Did she say alto or soprano?
She didn't say alto or
soprano. How can you forget buying a saxophone? Dave, for reference, it's more than any PlayStation you've ever bought.
I know, but still...
Oh, they're expensive.
But still,
they're really expensive.
Mr. Be Natural was shilling those things, and they were a lot of money.
I forgot that there was the alto or soprano part, which is like, that's probably an important thing
alto
to note. Alto or tenor,
you know what? They're so cheap. I was like... Homer, just buy two.
Yeah.
Just buy two. Buy both.
I'm guessing he bought both.
But he didn't get there in time.
Well, I do like the Doris Grouse says, that's a whole lot of nothing. I like that line, too. And Homer saying...
That'll do.
It's not my fault. It's the read.
Oh, yes, of course. It's the read. Let's hear it for Lisa Simpson and her wacky sax.
Such a dick.
I love patronizing Skinner.
And her wacky sax.
Also, I liked Homer said, me and my trenchant mouth.
I thought that was a joke. I missed.
I mean, it's just a thesaurus word. It means like it's well,
I know, but
very accurate
like,
and cutting. I think.
Yeah. Did I miss this thing where he's learning a word a day?
Yeah.
Or?
I don't think
no,
so.
We're not up to the vocabulary builder that he said instead of getting his weight loss mnemonic devices. But yeah, I also like that when Homer takes a gum off his shoe right before that, they do draw the gum on his shoe. Like,
that's right. Yeah,
Baeza was smart enough to keep that in. But
yeah, also Homer like making a note to fill a hole in his shoe when I have. Very terrible shoes right now. I don't know if you guys see that.
Playing real well on audio.
Yeah. Are those, they're bad.
Are those Chuck Taylors or not?
They're Chuck Berry.
Because they disintegrate like in the sun, I think.
These are my dinglings.
Oh, wow.
Whenever you work at home, you'll never have to wear shoes again.
Yeah, that's exactly. And it rarely rains here, so I never notice until like every 4 months. Like, why are my feet wet? Oh, right.
But this is... Lisa is like... Probably more pissed at Homer than she's ever been. And Homer has to regain her affection. Who knows how?
No wonder she hates me. Oh, I never even noticed she was alive.
Homer, if you want to make up with Lisa, just spend some time with her.
Reused
from
the
audio.
From the first episode,
episode
I believe.
One. It's when he's banging his head on the racetrack rail. Yeah,
just picked up on that immediately.
This is the third time I think. I think maybe Stark Raving Dad could have been the next one or something like that.
I also appreciated the continuity they would have later. Like, I think it's the first time we've seen Homer in Lisa's baby era of his hairline. And it would be the same hairline when they flash forward to Lisa's first word, which I guess would be. This year's flashback is Bart being born. The next year's flashback is Lisa's birth.
It's coming up soon.
I used this. My parents wouldn't help me get a car when I turned 16, and I just decided to stop speaking to them for about 2 months.
Oh, wow.
And everything got really bad, but I tried to use Lisa's tactics. And she didn't ask for a pony, mind you. She just, they knew she wanted a pony.
Because Homer was afraid by hanging out with her, he'd be too fruity.
Yeah.
Spending time with Lisa, she'll forgive you.
Marge, if I spend any more time doing these girl things, I'm gonna, you know, go fruity. No, you were right the first time with that quick fix idea. Let's see. Quick fix. I'll buy her that pony she's always bugging me for.
We can't afford to buy a pony.
Marge, with today's gasoline prices, we can't afford not to buy a pony.
That's my line of the show.
All of this is very close to my line of the show.
I love Homer going, ha ha, you love me.
That's my favorite part. And by the way, you assholes who claim to love The Simpsons, not Bob necessarily.
Oh,
Hank and
Dave,
we work together every day, and usually, like, you will come in the room, and I'm working at the station we're recording at, and you'll ask me something, and I'll be like, "Buh," I'm like, "What?" I'm like, "Snuh," and you never fucking get
it. You see my thumb drives. I know that joke. All my thumb drives are.
I love this exchange.
Orange, I've gotta get her a pony. When I look in Lisa's eyes, I don't see love anymore.
That's no reason to buy a pony.
See, even when you yell at me, I can see love in your eyes.
Stick to the subject.
Uh-huh, you love me.
Let's be realistic. A pony is very expensive, and we have enough trouble paying bills as it is.
Yeah.
You sound like you're going to buy a pony. Promise me you won't.
Mm.
What was that? Was that a yes or a no?
Buh.
Those aren't even words.
Snuh.
Yes. And Snuh is Marge's group against cartoon violence. And Itchy and Scratchy and Marge.
Holy
SNUH.
Shit. What a revelation.
Yeah. Which would come back, I guess, one last time as a punch sound effect in the Radioactive Man.
They love Snuh.
Thing. Yeah.
Snuh's great.
So I
should have called the show then.
By the way, the price of gas in 1991 was 56 cents a gallon.
So much. I'm weeping right now.
Yeah, and this feels...
Like, we've all driven a car in the last 5 years.
Yeah, I haven't
driven one in 8 years.
Yeah, like, the end of that scene, he's like, he said both of those things, and Marge is just frustrated. And then it's a classic, lights are out, Homer... Both eyes open, giant shit-eating grin.
I love the cartoon eyes and mouth.
Totally. Yeah. They never do that. It's great.
This episode feels very looking backward to season one. One, because, like, Lisa and her pony is really more of a season one thing, even. And two, she barely mentioned it. It's not like... her pony obsession does come back. This isn't like the end of it, but
you got a little sister.
I think they were stealing from merchandise because every character had their own like line that didn't really work too well. And Lisa's was "a penny saved is a pony earned." I would see that on like posters and merchandise.
Yeah.
Like, wow, like they really had this pony idea for Lisa really early.
And so I think it was just Gene and Reese being like smart of just saying like, "Oh, she constantly mentions the pony. If we could just do that. That could be an episode."
I just think it's a universally understood thing that a little girl would want and super expensive and unattainable.
And also in the season one spirit, it was so weird that they did him blow drying her face, the reference to the Bart the General, like with the
even
same
the
animation.
Yeah.
It was just Lisa drawn over
and
Bart.
That's
so weird.
The great thing about this episode, the animated, I don't know what, feats? The camera spinning around Lisa playing the saxophone.
Oh, yeah,
like,
that's Carlos Baeza.
They go way out of the way to make this look like a really good television animated production.
Because
I think the comparisons to the Flintstones were like at an all-time high.
Oh, so, yeah, like this is just a radio play animated. No,
let's
it's
show
actually,
you this is not the Flintstones when we can.
Do you have Homer going to All Creatures Great and Cheap?
I don't. Because the salesman was not my Hank Azaria
like,
Bronson
Merely take a left at the rendering plant. It has a joke that I'm not a fan of, which they started kind of doing this early, where Homer is also the smelliest man ever.
Yeah. So I miss that. I miss mentioning that in the treehouse episode because in last week's episode, when they come upon Homer's body,
that's
like,
right.
Oh, the stench is overpowering. Like, he's not dead. He just smells that bad. So that was the first ever Homer smells really bad thing. And then I've heard them in interviews say, why do we do this? Like, he's already stupid and fat. Why do we also have to give him the runner of he's the smelliest person
alive? He's got to be allowed to meet people before offending them.
He smells worse than a mall pet shop.
Yeah.
He smells worse than a rendering plant.
Yeah.
Like, a pig fat.
And I think he's, exactly. And there's an episode later where he's going to, like, I think it is the rendering plant. Is that what you're talking
about?
Well,
it's when they're next door. Like,
that's right, yeah.
You'll be surprised how soon you get used to the smell of melted hog fat. Then Homer looks in the window next door, and the guy's working on it like, what's that smell?
It could be this rendering plan in this episode.
I'd like to think so. Does anybody remember the equestrian dame's name?
She is not named at all. She's actually like a parody of Katharine Hepburn.
Yeah, it should have been Tracy Ullman.
It should have just been the return of Winthrop, though.
But the name of the establishment is the Grateful Gelding. Do we know what a gelding is, everybody?
I do. I now know. I didn't know as a kid. But yeah, it is a castrated male horse.
Yes. So the idea of a Grateful Gelding is kind of strange.
It's a strange one. Also, that the Bronson voice guy would be running the pet store in Duffless.
He writes novels under the name of...
He thinks of the ending first, then writes backwards.
Listen, he's going to eat his kids in a minute here, kid.
I'm buying a pony for my little girl, and I don't care what it costs.
Very good. That stunning creature over there is $500,000.
$500,000?
He was sired by Seattle Slough, and his mother won the Kentucky Derby.
Wow.
His likeness graces a stamp in Tanzania.
I'll take it.
Mr. Simpson, do you have $500,000?
Sure. Let me write you a check.
Mr. Simpson, this check is dated January 1st, 2054.
Is there a problem with that?
Our ponies start at $5,000. Cash.
Isn't there like a pound where you can pick up cheap ponies that ran away from home?
I sincerely hope not.
Ooh. That's only 38 years from now, Homer.
2054 doesn't feel that far away.
Does he not see how good at haggling he is? It went from $500,000 to $5,000.
Yeah. Well, that is for the top thoroughbred.
The Simpsons will be right back.
You like Laser Time shows? Then you might like Bonus Time, Laser Time's weekly bonus show exclusively on patreon.com/lasertime. Here's a taste of what you've been missing.
I was glad that I got sick after drinking with Wes. He had that whiskey, and I never drink whiskey. Every time I do, it's a bad time. So he's like, you know, just take a pull. I'm like, a pull? How much is a pull?
A finger.
So I just like, I'm like, gulp, one gulp of it. That seems enough. True to form, I did get sick.
Ooh,
I'm debating whether I should have done this, but I took the bus home, and it was one of those things where I'm like fading in and out on the bus.
God, not one of those people.
Yeah, I somehow luckily get my wits back right as the bus is pulling up to my street. I get out and I think everything's fine, but about like five steps in, I'm like, oh, gonna be sick. Literally just spew like probably like a water balloon's worth, a small water balloon.
What color?
Like, pink. I got a little bit out, so I felt like maybe that's all I needed. But no, it was literally every half block. I would barf
You're
another.
Hansel
like,
and Gretling your way through
exactly.
San Francisco.
And I was so tempted to, like, the next morning just, like, retrace my steps. But I was hungover, so I didn't.
Get Bonus Time, Laser Time's weekly, full-length, uncensored, and ad-free Patreon-exclusive podcast, as well as weekly full-length movie commentaries, wrestling and cartoon video commentaries, physical rewards, the first season of Talking Simpson, and more at patreon.com/lasertime, starting at just $5. You'll help us live, and we'll do our best to help you never be bored again. Homer needs money. I still don't get this
need
joke.
Money.
But I do.
In terms of like the things I saw my dad lose his mind over. Like when I knew my dad loved The Simpsons as much as I did. It was this exchange when Homer goes to the plant to ask for money and Burns shows up.
I just love that at first. Yeah. Like again, it's the writer saying, "Why doesn't Burns just do it? Like, why would he take a? He can take
and
a loan from
this
anybody."
A little bit.
But,
and
it,
Homer asks the same question.
Yeah.
I'd like to borrow $5,000.
Hello. Simpson, how can I help you?
Mr. Burns, you do this personally?
No, it's a hobby. I'm not in this for any personal gain, heavens no. Hmm. By the way, are you acquainted with our state's stringent usury laws?
Yes.
Usury?
No, silly me. I must have just made up a word that doesn't exist. Now, what is the purpose of this loan?
I want to buy a pony.
Isn't that cute? Smithers, he's planning on joining the horsey set. That is it, isn't it? You're not planning to eat it.
Eat it, Jesus!
Yeah. I must have made up a word that didn't exist.
And usury is not a thing that comes up in court cases.
I've never heard it ever in my life.
I looked it up for this. Usury is the practice of making unethical or immoral monetary loans that unfairly enrich the lender.
My dad had to explain it to me.
Yeah, that's how the Jews were persecuted. Yes. Like,
they're usurers.
Yeah.
Well, so that sounds like every credit card I've signed up for.
Yeah, so. And we should point out, like, this is in the days of unions, and if you had worked at a big company, you probably had a credit union, and they would reward you for investing in the company by keeping your money within the company at a bank.
I still have money in a Florida employee commerce bank.
Wow.
In Florida. So like $200. Let's see what it looks like. Maybe it's got that Fry Futurama thing on it for 20 years.
The way Burns is like his malevolent laughter and then just really like, Smithers was saying something funny. Didn't say anything funny. Shut it's, up.
His like, commitment that's to being an evil character through getting money. It's just...
I just love shut up. It's just a running thing everyone says in The Simpsons.
This is almost my favorite line of the show, Bart asking, like, Homer does get Lisa the pony.
And we have the obligatory Godfather joke in which she wakes up with the horse in the bed, which, like, Lisa would wake up with Homer putting a pony inside of the bed, unless he drug the pony or something.
Scream from
but who cares? Because
I agree.
I mean, that scene is great. Mm-hmm. I've heard... Chris, you're a Disney fan. Yeah. I've heard that's Walt Disney they're making fun of. Like the man in Godfather who they put the horse head in. That's Walt
the
Disney
producer.
Who is the producer who liked getting with his young ladies and was mad that Frank Sinatra got with her instead, and so he makes a film that Frank Sinatra can't have. That I had heard that was Disney specifically they were making.
Wow, I had no idea.
I just love this line. It's great.
Hey, how come Lisa gets a pony?
Because she stopped loving me.
I don't love you either, so give me a moped.
I know you love me, so you don't get squat.
This episode, Homer has the uncanny ability to sense who loves him and who doesn't.
That's how he gets over Marge, too.
Yeah. Like, I don't think I could tell.
No.
Every day I wonder, this is the day my girlfriend leaves me. This is when it happens.
Well, with parents, did you ever have that feeling?
It might be
like,
when we're recording Simpsons podcasts at 8 o'clock on a Friday night.
She packed her bags, but you were too busy recording a podcast to know.
But the pony is named Princess. It goes by pretty fast if you didn't catch that.
Yeah, you don't really hear it until the very end.
The Catherine Hepburn lady is not named, but the pony is in this episode.
Love costs a lot of months. $530 to store a pony, which, I think that's quite...
It's more than to host a podcast and a website.
Yeah. And the fact that it also includes writing lessons and language lessons.
Seems like a steal to me.
Yeah, it's a lot less than Stampy would be in a few years.
The Grateful Gelding has really got a racket going there. Because, one, they sell it to Homer for $5,000. They charge him for at least a month of stable fees. And then... they just, like, Lisa gives it back. Like, it is not implied they get the money back. Like, I hate to cut to the end, but they just get a free horse back they can just sell again for $5,000.
I just have to play this.
Homer, just where were you planning to keep this horse?
I've got it all figured out. By day, it'll roam free around the neighborhood, and at night, it'll nestle snugly between the cars in our garage.
Dad, no!
That's illegal!
That's for the courts to decide.
Oh, that's a great line. I just wanted to mention, it was a Total Recall moment. And about 16 and 17, I went through a year in high school where I didn't speak. And then when I did, it was in the Homer inflection of talking like this and then kind of like this. And everybody treated me very weirdly, and I couldn't understand why, because I thought I was speaking the funniest way I could. I had not thought of that in a long time.
Wow. Then the next act begins with another thing totally unrelated to the story, but in case you're a new listener, we all write about video games or used to. So what did we think of the Atari game they were playing in 1991?
It's not quite he's playing Asteroids.
Yeah. It's not quite as savvy as their Punch-Out parody. It's not parodying a specific game, which I was disappointed in, but I like Dan Castellaneta's what seems like improv, like, where's the hyperspace?
I forgot this existed because I didn't start taping The Simpsons on Sundays until season 3.
So they hacked it out.
Yeah, that was totally hacked out because it starts with the stronger joke, which is like, oh, you have a gift for me? Oh, I thought it'd be money.
I got down on the floor for this.
That's a great line.
But in 1991, at the very least, don't draw an Atari controller. That's nobody had been playing with that for a decade.
Yeah, for 5 years.
I think maybe the Punch-Out parody did have joysticks, though. That was two years ago. They have had time to learn. But I did enjoy the sort of improv-y, Dr. Katz style between Nancy and Dan.
We pointed out, all cartoon shows got video game controllers wrong.
Yeah.
And Henry pointed out in this, an issue you can buy right now on Comixology, the Archie.
Yeah.
Archie gets every controller in every era completely right.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
The Archie comics. It's insane.
Well, the Archie, you know, it's underappreciated in Archie comics, but the artists and writers work hard to be right with the trends because they know the savvy kids they want reading it will know if they're wrong about a fad.
There's an Archie video game collection where all the stories revolve around video games. And every era that it's in, it looks like an NES controller. It looks like a PlayStation controller. It looks like... Let's just say a third controller. I can't remember.
It totally is worth $5 just to see.
I read the whole thing.
They're like, oh, they wrote this one when the Pokemon craze was on. They wrote this one when Super Mario was on. They wrote this one when Pac-Man was on.
And I remember being hypercritical of that as a little kid because video games were my world. The Simpsons now need money because of Princess.
Dear, we're in serious trouble here. We're just going to have to cut down on luxuries.
Well, you know, we're always buying Maggie vaccinations for diseases she doesn't even have.
Actually, I was thinking we could cut down on your beer.
Nah, we're not going to be doing that.
Wow. I'm afraid there's no choice but to give up the pony.
First, you didn't want me to get the pony. Now you want me to take it back. Make up your mind.
Homer.
Marge, Lisa loves me. The pony stays.
All right. You got us into this, you get us out.
Fine, I will. There's plenty of money out there for a guy who's willing to work for it.
Damn right.
The Simpsons having a meeting about money problems is a very season 3 and 4 idea, which I like because it does root them in some sense of reality. Like, we are not infinite money cartoon characters. We can't just do whatever we want.
I did like his follow-up line there, like, you don't have any jewelry you don't like anymore, do you?
But in season, but by then by season 7, Bart will say, can I have $700?
But here you go. But the strange vision, because I do remember my dad's very... savvy with money and stuff and does all his own taxes, that I've never felt the need, and I was afraid watching this, am I going to have to spend a month on a calculator on the kitchen table figuring out expenses? And like now that I don't ever, like, am I living an adult life wrong?
I think there's software now.
I did think, but I also thought, like, when we're always spending money on these vaccinations Maggie doesn't use, I'm like, well, you know what? I've been spending money on health insurance every month this year. I haven't been using it.
The tax penalty is less than your premiums. I know it because I lived it.
And then you just have to cross your fingers and hope you never get sick.
Yeah, it'll never happen to me.
And I love this storyline. I keep confusing it. I kept expecting James Woods to show up.
Oh, it's very much like Dog of Death, actually, where it's like we got to cut things from our lives.
But one scratch for cash, please.
This is great.
Liberty Bell. Two Liberty Bells. Come on, come on, come on. Oh, yes! Woohoo! Three Liberty Bells! That'll be $10,000, Apu.
Oh, congratulations, Mr. Homer.
Thank you.
If I could just see the ticket.
Well, there it is.
You pleased to be removing your thumb?
No.
Yes, please, I must insist.
No, no.
I have to look at the ticket.
No,
Mr.
you can't
Homer.
See
yes,
too
I
much.
Must. You
no.
have to remove
no.
your...
No! Let go! You're ripping it!
Cherry. Oh, Mr. Homer, what has reduced you to such cheap chicanery?
Oh, I need money.
Well, if you need money, you should have at least jammed a gun in my ribs. Or better yet, you could inquire about my help wanted sign.
You're looking for help?
Yes, we need someone for the demanding yet high-profile midnight to 8 a.m. shift.
I'm your man.
You're hired.
I like Apu's a cherry.
That would have been my favorite line, but it has more to do with the musical cue.
Yeah.
A cherry. Bum, bum,
bum. But I love all this scene. Like, first Homer chanting need money before going in, just to make it clear he needs money. And then Dan's acting on pretending he won, like, whoa. Homer. And the great Dan and Hank improv there.
They have to be together in the same room.
And I think this episode is the closest they've gotten to Apu to this date. Like, most lines he'd ever had, I'd say, too.
Yeah.
And
is the first Mr. Homer?
And when he says, when he says, one of you would be working for me.
I love that line. I wish I would have captured it. But this, I did capture this because I just remember this. Before we ever started the show, there's a bunch of kids crowding around to watch Lisa play with Princess. And it's the most not... It's
the biggest, one of the biggest animation gaffes.
The
so
biggest
far.
No, animation gaffes of the third
Ralph.
Season.
This is season one
He has Nelson's voice.
Yeah. This is Ralph Wiggum, by the way, the last kid to speak.
He certainly tamed that horse.
Yes, but what man can tame her?
So, look, I do agree Nancy fucked up his voice, and that is the Nelson voice, but... That is the character until he learned about Spyro Keats in the Bergstrom episode. Ralph was his character.
Yeah,
very Wrigley.
It's just that, like, his character model is so on model.
Yeah.
And here, like, everything else is working right now, and the hearing that voice come out of Ralph at this stage in The Simpsons is so off-putting.
It wasn't that long ago that the Chocolate Factory episode also kind of slightly off-model voice for him.
I'm going to eat chocolate till I barf.
Yeah, it's like,
it sounded more like Nelson there, too.
Oh,
that's true.
This is a personal clip. I shouldn't even play it. It's Lisa playing to Princess in the stable.
This next song is also about a girl and her pony. It's called Wildfire.
So, Jesus, see, this is indulgent. Like any white people in the 80s, my parents are very into James Taylor.
Oh, and mine too.
I had a little rideable with the horse on a stick thing, and my parents named it Wildfire. It was my favorite toy, and it was sooner or later, like, you know what your toy got its name, son? Wildfire, put on a record, listen to this. And I grew up loving the song Wildfire because it was my favorite toy. So to me, this, like, I feel like the song is bigger than it is. Like, people might not know this James Taylor song.
I honestly really don't.
I never knew it was a James Taylor song.
She'll
until
be riding wildfire.
I thought it was a song Lisa until right now. I thought it was a song Lisa made up. Like, she's like, I made up this song called Wildfire.
Yeah, it is James Taylor, baby.
So Homer is sleep deprived from working at the Quickie Mart, and we get a great, only purely visual sequence set to Golden Slumbers by the Beatles, where he's driving in his car, and it turns into like a bed, and he's like lifted by angels, and the moon is winking at him.
Yeah.
Okay. It's like Little Nemo, and I always think of this when I come home from a work trip, when I'm like, I'm so tired, I just want to get back into my bed. I imagine myself as Homer, just being like carried away, and the moon is like...
I had a few instances... like this during my like college days, because I went to a commuter college, and I had the brilliant idea one semester to stack it, so I basically had like 1.5 days of class. So one day would literally be 12 hours of classes, and sometimes I would sneak a nap in there, but a lot of times I would not. And I would also cram and do a lot of my work the night before, pull an all-nighter.
Not Dave.
Yes, and then do 12 hours of like college, and then drive home. And there are times that I came close to pulling a Homer in this instance.
Well, I've had recurring nightmares about driving and being unable to open my eyes.
Yeah.
That's driving and falling asleep while driving terrifies me.
Yeah, my commute was like, oh, I'm on these highways where... I'm the only car for a mile. Like,
I've gotten tired. That has happened.
And I had cars so shitty that the radio barely worked.
My big question is, you just wrote up something about the Simpsons arcade game.
Yeah.
That came out February of 91?
Yeah, it was before this episode aired.
But this is level in the Simpsons arcade game.
It is,
clearly. Yes, yeah. But it is. It's black and white, takes place in the clouds, has the same sun and moon. But we talked about the Simpsons didn't have a lot to go on, and we're sending like perspective sketches.
Yeah,
it could have been a pre-production sketch or something like that. I totally agree.
I would believe that. Yeah.
But what I love about this scene, though, is like there are no jokes for 45 seconds. Yeah. They let the beauty of the music and the animation carry the scene, and then the joke comes at the end, and it's worth it. But it's like that still gives me goosebumps. That song and the animation and Homer.
They trusted Carlos Baeza and his team to do it well.
Remember
but
what I said about fuck you, Flintstones.
So
there's no dream sequences in the Flintstones.
So the music in that scene is the Beatles song "Golden Slumbers," though it's not an instrumental.
Not really.
So that's the thing. Mm-hmm. They talk about how they wanted that song. Like Gene and Reese imagine like this scene works with Golden Slumbers. They spent what they thought was a shitload of money on it.
Yeah.
And when they got it, they're like, this is a cover. Yes. Like a Beatles cover, it just licensing song rights will cost you a shitload of money.
Wow.
A Beatles master will cost you $500,000.
Yeah, that's what Mad Men did a few years ago.
Yeah,
right?
But there's a giant gap in between The World According to Garp, When I'm 64, and that Mad Men using a real Beatles song. That did not happen in any entertainment.
I mean, so the difference too is that like the reason you'll hear a cover of You Want a Revolution in a Nike ad, which drove Paul McCartney crazy, is because they didn't have the song licensing rights.
Yeah.
That was Michael Jackson and his company.
Oh, right, yeah.
But the master rights were owned by Apple Records, and so they got to be a little choosier about who got it. And the prices could be even higher But I mean, they are Beatles songs, just like a Led Zeppelin song. You almost never hear a Led Zeppelin song and stuff.
Beatles even less. I think we're only going to start to hear that like within the next 5 years, especially after the next one dies. Well, I'm saying Paul.
You can't hear like five notes of Stairway in Wayne's World because of Led Zeppelin. It sucks. Yeah, but that joke is ruined and I hate it.
I think it is opening up more, at least on the Beatles side of things, because 5 years ago, I cannot imagine that like the Amazon Music app has every Beatles album. You can just stream it.
It doesn't matter how young you are. You have to remember when the Beatles came to iTunes and the iTunes changed their marketing for a month.
Yeah.
Like, we have the Beatles. Does anybody want to discover the Beatles on iTunes? Is that even a thing?
Those songs are all on YouTube.
Yeah,
though.
They're everywhere.
No one really cares.
Like,
yeah.
But that was like, I remember going to Union Square in San Francisco and there were four billboards of just like the Beatles. Now, this band that broke up 40 years ago.
Finally give
finally
us money.
Here.
Yeah.
Well, I also remember in 2008 it was a big deal, or in the late 2000s when they put out they reissued all the albums and like, this is the re-release, this is it. And it was, I think music writers were calling it the last CDs you will ever buy. These are them. Like, this is the end of CDs because the perfect Beatles CDs came out.
Oh, during this is my favorite light dough from Homer as he's trying, he goes to bed for 1 minute.
I do like the table saw hitting his head though. It looks very painful.
Yes.
Homie, how long do you plan to do this?
I don't know. How long do horses live?
30 years?
Yep.
Dough.
I like all the stuff in Homer and his Quickie Mart outfit. That's the trainee Quickie Mart outfit that Apu never wears until he gets fired from the Quickie Mart in the James Wood episode.
Yeah. Bart calls him Pink Hat.
I love when Bart calls him Pink Hat.
Though that's a change. It's not pink in the other scenes, but I think they realized in the audio it's Pink Hat. So like, well, we got to paint him pink for this scene. But it's not pink in every other scene.
I like when he's like, yes, sir.
But it is weird to think by this math that Princess is still alive. Like,
yeah.
We do see
this is Dave's obsession, by the way.
Anytime we do a Monday night movie commentary via Patreon.com.
The movie's more than 20 years old. It must be pointed out the dog is
the
dead.
The dog is dead.
The cat is dead.
We see a little taste of a Pooh's single life, which I think Bill Oakley and Josh Weinstein would revisit in the 22 short films about Springfield, which he has a lot of sex.
Which just celebrated its 20th anniversary.
Oh, God, no help.
But yeah, it was
Princess Cashmere.
The return of Princess Cashmere.
Yeah.
They like, well, who would be having casual sex with Apu? Princess Cashmere. That's
someone
who.
Involved in a scandal.
Al Jean and Reese mentioned that they didn't mean for it to sound like Apu orgasms before that scene started. He's like,
come on,
Apu, get in here. Oh, he's destroying my store. And he's like, whoa, that could
he
be
mentions
construed
bringing her to
coming.
Climax.
Like, yes. Yeah,
but here, I feel like we've been teasing this for several episodes. We talked about the writers being former Carson writers.
Oh, good. Okay.
And this is the biggest slam on Carson.
I just heard Milli Vanilli was arrested for impersonating a McNugget. True.
Well, it's still fun to be up late.
it really is great because the joke is there is no joke.
Yeah.
He's just saying like contemporary things that someone fed him.
He loves the word McNugget.
I think it's surprisingly mean for The Simpsons.
Yeah.
Yeah, I forgot
that's a real person.
I forgot how mean that was of Bart. Like, the joke is Bart knows it's not funny.
As
like,
a 10-year-old.
Yeah, and then it's
8-year-old.
It's just like their jokes about the political singer in a few episodes ago of just them saying like, we want to be clear, we don't like, and then the characters just say, we want to be clear, we don't think he's funny either.
But they make up a fake name for him, and they've been showing Johnny Carson in like every episode leading up to this,
and that's he'll true. Be a guest soon. I guess he forgot about all of that.
It'll be a year and a half till then.
Johnny doesn't watch TV.
Also, speaking of reusing animation, very lazily they reuse the Lisa Mumps thing.
I noticed
just to fill time of like, when are you gonna stop loving me? They just repeat it. They reuse the animation from the start of the episode of him answering the phone, and then of Lisa calling him on the phone asking for a teen boy magazine.
Exactly. Oh, wow. We not only see the mumps on Lisa's face, we see Homer wearing the assassins
that
are all torn up.
Right.
So I was like, this is a really out of place scene in this episode.
Wow.
It's
clearly
Lisa,
they were late.
So
they
could have cut to some other time he was on the phone at the power plant. That's weird.
Yeah,
it's so insane. Again, kids, you'll never see this again.
They'll
never use
so much
animation cells.
At that point,
it's really out of place, though, because we see Homer's shoes in the beginning. It's very important that he writes the note on his shoes, but in that scene he's wearing the assassins that are all chewed up. Post Santa's little helper, I think.
They must have just been desperate to fill more time.
Yeah. Y'all ready for my line of the show?
I did like Bart's reaction to finding out he works at the Quickie Mart.
I have all that there, but Lisa gets the line of the show for me.
Oh, good.
That's the joke.
What's wrong with Dad?
He's just exhausted. Lisa, do you know how much it costs to keep a pony?
No.
Well, it's a lot. In fact, your father had to take a second job.
The poor guy. Where's he working?
The Quickie Mart. Lisa, I hope you realize that your father can't keep this up.
You're gonna make me give up Princess?
Lisa, we can't make you give up that pony.
I can make her. Just give me 5 minutes alone with her.
No, Bart. No one's going to make her. This is something Lisa has to decide for herself.
All the years I've lobbied to be treated like an adult have blown up in my face.
God, that is a joke that me and my brother would make about our little sister. Like, just give us 5 minutes with us.
5 minutes alone.
I think I have considered my... I'm not smart. The only way I had any foresight is I hated the idea of being adult. I hate the idea of being adult every day. Always have. And you all should too. Always remember that episode we did of Laser Time with April Richardson. She's like obsessed with Saved by the Bell, and we're like the same age. Great. And I was like, I watched that show, but like I didn't want to get involved with high school caste systems. I didn't want to age any more beyond my NES and playing football.
Doug
with my
Funny
friends.
Was as far as you wanted.
Yeah, yeah. I never wanted that. Still don't.
And yeah, I was good at 12.
Yeah. So adult dreams blowing up in your, like, being asked to make an adult decision always sucks. And I love Lisa being able to realize that.
Katherine Hepburn gets a pretty good deal here. She just gives him back. Gives her back.
I did like her line, like, I can assure you my heart is breaking.
She likes a little carrot after her oats. And she really likes it when you scratch her behind the ear. And if you're playing the radio, she likes contemporary adult in the morning and easy listening at night. Please take good care of my princess.
Although there is no change in my patrician facade, I can assure you my heart is breaking.
Father, I'm having ever so much fun.
I think that's a terrible line read incredibly well by
Zach.
She's great. I think it is worth mentioning the animation on the horse is very good. Like, they're not photographing a horse. Like, to draw an animal naturalistically in the Simpsons style cannot be easy.
And they studied the film, the photography of Edward Muybridge, which was basically the first study in animation. Wow. Like, it was like a bet between rich people. Like, I bet the horse's feet don't all touch the ground at the same time when it's galloping. So they set up a bunch of cameras along the ground. The horse would run. They would all go off. That's essentially how animation was created.
Wow. Holy shit.
Yeah, I forget who won.
I believe all the feet are off the ground at the same time.
Okay,
it's running.
So that, like, a bet between rich people made animation happen.
Thank you, rich people.
Thank
finally,
you.
They're pulling their weight.
Yeah, you invented animation, not
you know
accident.
They're out there popping a cork.
Yes.
They finally thanked us.
I do have a line in the show, Opu saying, that the young man you replaced is rolling over in his grave.
Yeah. All of that exchange is amazing.
Yeah.
I called last episode the perfect cartoon, but I do think this is the perfect Simpsons episode.
So,
at this point,
Apu is so lenient. Like, he should have fired Homer like a while ago. So it's, I think it's just that working at the Quickie Mart is the least wanted job of anyone.
I think it's the perfect episode. I love how it culminates with Bart harassing Homer at the job he now knows he has.
Yeah.
And Lisa shows up to say, like, well, you're free of this burden. But every Apu line involved with that is awesome.
Giddy up, Dad!
That's so cute.
He slept. Uh-huh. He stole. He was rude to the customers. Still, there goes the best damned employee a convenience store ever had.
Man, I really love the pink sky, the pink light castle everywhere. It reminds me of the end of Three Men in a Comic Book, when like a very, very beautiful dawn, when like the weather's breaking and everyone's just in this beautiful lighting.
Her riding the Homer horsey is just so cute.
And again, Bill Oakley and Josh Weinstein would borrow this release of The Vegetarian.
You're
How about a veggie ride?
Actually, Bob, that episode was executive produced by Dave Merkin. It was when the two Merkin took over for that season.
Sorry, force of habit.
I will fight you now. But I'm sure Bill Oakley and Josh Weinstein.
I did feel a little bit robbed that he said he was rude to customers, and we never got to see a real scene where he was rude to a customer.
It's just the implication that, like,
he was drinking out of the squishy machines.
There is no model convenience store employee because no one has any expectations for them.
No one survived long enough to be a model employee.
It is always strange to see, like, somebody who seems like they could do better than a convenience store, working at a convenience store. Like, what happened? Why are you here?
It's called the convenience store because it peddles and vices in more expensive products than you get at a regular grocery store, but you're here at 2.
Yeah,
so
Flanders is buying his groceries there.
I've always thought that was weird about
that's
the Simpsons.
He's overspending.
But it's only to see more Apu, essentially. You can't have a cat. You don't want to make a cashier every time.
Oh, but that scene was weird. So was Ned. That's what I didn't get. Was Ned. Okay, Ned's counting out the pennies when he puts them down.
Sure.
So does that mean he is. Why is he laughing conspiratorially? Because seems like he's giving him exact change. Like, so, and Ned wouldn't, even at this point, Ned is a goody-goody who would not steal from the store or shortchange him, right?
I think he is giving exact change. The joke is he thinks he's getting away with something. Like, I'm so clever and I'm so funny. Like, but he's just letting Homer sleep while he does the goody-goody thing, which is the joke.
It's,
yeah,
it's not clearly...
That's supposed to be a scene where you see Homer is noticed and demeaned by his peers.
Yeah. It could be that too, yeah. But Ned is laughing that his next-door neighbor is having such a bad time, I guess. Yeah, yeah. But though that seems a
little mean-spirited. The rest of it is him being mocked by his family and just personal suffering.
Yeah, because it is shameful to have a job at a Quickie Mart. That's the message here, people. You failed if you work there.
Yeah, at a Quickie Mart, yeah.
And the Simpsons will not own another pony until Saddle Sore Galactica, which is a terrible episode.
Is that the one with the cake song in it?
It's the one with the jockeys singing.
Yeah, that's
the evil jockeys.
Literally, I think there's like three times where I'm like, I am punching out and leaving the show.
The commentary is great because Matt Groening has literally never seen that episode before.
Wow.
And he is reacting as you would expect him to.
And
like
that, again, Frank Grimes was one of those episodes too, which
I've recanted.
Okay. Now it's meta and it makes sense. But that episode in particular, like, I'll never watch the show
again.
That
could be the end of the show for me. It could have been a great last episode.
Yeah, when Comic Book Guy just shows up to say, worst episode ever, that's them. That is one of those most clear middle fingers they ever gave to fans. Like, if you notice and care about this, fuck off.
Yeah,
you're as bad as Comic Book
Guy. We're phoning it in and we love it.
Yeah. This will have no ending where the stakes will be, do what they say or they'll eat your brains. Well, and then they're just going to beat the shit out of a bunch of jockeys.
Save it for a couple years. Just sit on
we'll
it.
We'll see you in 2019 for Telesaur Galactica, maybe. I'll be alive.
That episode sucks.
It's bad. Anyways, but Lisa's Pony was so good. Am I right, guys?
Yeah.
Great episode.
This is the
very
best
touching
episode of The Simpsons of the season.
Again, schmaltzy so ending, far. Last 10 seconds. They earn every second of it. Unlike other episodes, they really work for this.
I still love the crusty stuff more. In the Father Like Clown is still my favorite so far of the season. Crusty's so fucking
fun. I love the cohesion of everything. The animation, the jokes, the pace of the jokes.
This could be our longest episode ever, by the way.
Holy
looking
shit
at the timeline.
Let's get out of here.
Yes, we gotta punch out ourselves. I am Ben Bob Mackey, your host, as always. You can find me on Twitter as Bob Servo. I also write for US Gamer and Something Awful, and you can check out my classic gaming podcast, Retronauts, at usgamer.net or retronauts.com, or just search for Retronauts in your podcast device. Everybody else, Henry, what do you do?
Well, I, along with the other three scallywags here, we work on many podcasts and written things on lasertimepodcast.com. That includes the original pop culture exploration, Laser Time 30-2010, our exploration of 30 years ago, 20 years ago, and 10 years ago in the same week. It's a bit like the history lesson on this podcast, except bigger. And of course there's Cape Crisis, my comic book podcast. But if I had to tell you one thing that's worth plugging, it's patreon.com/lasertime. If you enjoy this, you know all the first season of Talking Simpsons is only accessible for $5 a month at patreon.com/lasertime.
Right there waiting for you.
As is our season 2 wrap-up, which has some seriously deep, deep cuts of Simpsons stuff that you've never heard of.
Honestly,
I'd never heard of.
If you think we're nerdy here, wait till you hear that episode, because you're going
to
disown us.
As a Simpsons fan, if you're listening to this and just discovered us, I feel like you're doing yourself a disservice by not having that first season, because that's when you discover the first appearance of everybody, when everybody's voice and personality changes, when Lenny sounds like Mo. Like watching the show fall into place, and I know a lot of people don't want to revisit that first season, and that's why we didn't make it available for everybody.
But it's
if you want it.
It's worth it. It's totally worth it. Just watching those episodes
again,
I loved
it. I hope everybody does, because we're all doing this together, going through the whole show together.
I host She Podcast, a pro wrestling podcast. This is making me think I should do an episode about wrestlers who had second jobs. There was the accountant wrestler, the garbage man wrestler, the race car driver wrestler.
I think IRS. Is that the guy you mean?
Yes.
Okay,
what a horrible era. What a horrible era, WWF. But, by the way, Simpsons, we played a bunch of Simpsons games. You can find those on youtube.com/lasertimenetwork, including when we thought Harry Shearer was at Quit the Simpsons.
Oh, right.
We still called the goodbye Harry Shearer stream.
Yeah, it still is, but it's a lot of fun. youtube.com/lasertimenetwork.
That Simpsons game is the best and worst from 07. It is terrible.
I agree.
But filled with wonderful things.
And real animation.
Like, and we slowly go through it and we find an excuse, because I really hate the game.
Yeah.
It's a bad game. So we'll be back next week with the episode about Bart entering the soapbox races. We'll see you then, everybody.
Man.
Wow, infotainment.
You love podcasts. The stories, the laughs, the unexpected turns. But when this episode ends, the silence starts. Not anymore. Audiobooks.com turns that silence into your next great adventure. With over 450,000 titles, from bestsellers to hidden gems, your love for listening just found its new best friend. And because you already know the joy of audio, we're giving you 3 free audiobooks to start your journey. Imagine your favorite podcast, now with unlimited episodes. That's audiobooks.com. Keep the story going. Sign up for your free trial at audiobooks.com/podcastfree today. Because for podcast lovers like you, the end of an episode is just the beginning. That's audiobooks.com/podcastfree.